Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She's the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of Smooth Drama. And I guess tonight it is Miss 100%, Queen of the Little People, at the wheel tonight. So, people, if you're on the road, get the fuck off the road because y'all know I'm crazy as hell. Anyway, if you want to call in and talk to me, you can reach me at 646-929-2037. Again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And if you want to holler at me on a more personal level, you can always email me at miss100% spelled out at yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at the number 100%, or you can look me up on Facebook, and again, that's Miss 100% spelled out. So let's get this party started, or let's get this show on the road. Governor Christie, he gets asked about Twinkies. When I read the title of this, I thought that this was funnier than hell. But then it was not as funny as what I thought it was going to be. So he was kind of mad. So just take a listen to Governor Christie going off about Twinkies.
Really, seriously, you're not asking me about Hostess Twinkies, are you? What's the next question? David, what do you got? I'm not answering a question about, you know, there's so much. I'm on Saturday Night Live enough. You think you're getting me behind this microphone? Having me talk about Twinkies, this is a setup, man. I know it. You people are the worst. This is a setup. I am not answering questions on Twinkies. And no. You know, it's bad that I even said the word Twinkie from behind this microphone. You're not getting me to do that. No way. David, don't go to Devil Dogs, David. Don't try it.
All right. So that was our governor. Well, that was not my governor, but your governor, Christie, going off about being asked questions about Twinkies. It seems as if he was lured into behind a podium like he was going to be asked questions about a very serious topic, and then they played a joke on him and just actually started asking him questions about Twinkie, and I guess, you know, the joke is his weight. But you can always go online on MSN News if you want to see the whole video or read the whole story, but I just thought that was some funny shit that I wanted to share with y'all. So the next thing, this is really crazy to me now. We've been talking about the world ending, next month on the 21st. We've been joking about it. We've been kind of serious about it. We've been back and forth. But I'm really kind of convinced that people really are trying to do whatever they can to, you know, to get all the crazy out of them before it's all said and done. A UK man gave cocaine to a bunch of trick-or-treaters. It seems that in London, there was three primary school-age children in one English city who... The man said that he mistakenly handed out his cocaine stash to the children instead of candy. And he was given, this is the thing that really pissed me off, that he was only given community service. I couldn't understand how a man that passes out a cocaine stash to three children only gets community service. So, I don't know. Y'all can call in and let me know. Is he the dumbass, or is the court system the dumbass because they actually didn't do anything about it? He said, well, he was only 23 years old, and he said that he actually, I guess he was so high that when the kids came to the door, he actually had the candy in one hand and the Coke in another hand, and he put the candy in the pocket and didn't even realize what he was doing, and he handed the cocaine to the kids, and when he went back to get his stash out of his pocket, he pulled the candy out and said, oh, shit, I just gave cocaine to some kids. But he did turn himself in and tell the authorities what he did so that the children wouldn't get hurt. But so I guess I don't even know if I want to say that he's a good guy for doing this because I don't know. But you weigh in. And again, 646-929-2037. You can call in with your thoughts about this idiot giving cocaine to trick-or-treaters. And now I'm talking about special helmets. Needing special helmets, deserving special helmets. Even if you don't want it, you're going to get it. We're going to glue it to your head, and then we're going to pour metal on there, and we're going to solder another one onto your head. This woman, well, you can't blame the kids. It was one family, a Russian family, lived 3 years with their father's body. I know, it's sick. The mother didn't want to accept that the father had died, and she kept the dead body, her husband's dead body in a small apartment with her and her five children for 3 years after he died. And they actually, the mother would make them keep him in a bed and feed him. And I'm trying to figure out, how do you feed a dead body? Do you just take the spoon and just keep shoving it down his throat until no more will fit? Or I don't understand. They said that he did die in 2009 of natural causes, and a psychic told her that he was going to resurrect. And I've heard before of people taking the resurrection thing a little too literally, as in, one day we'll all be resurrected, but they feel that as soon as a person dies, they'll be resurrected in a few days by Jesus Christ, which is totally not true, but some people still believe. So apparently this is what this woman believed, and she left him for 3 years and fed him. And then one of the kids said that they were going to move to another apartment, and while her back was turned, while she wasn't paying attention, the child decided to put the body in trash bags and go ahead and throw the body into a dumpster. So kudos to you for not being afraid of your mother anymore and doing what you felt was right or the best thing that you could possibly do in that type of situation. So, but again, the mother, yeah, special helmet. And the rest of y'all steal special helmets because, I mean, he's dead. And then the people who've been coming to the apartment and pretending like they didn't smell that nasty ass smell, yeah, special helmets to y'all, all y'all dumbasses too. So, anyway. All right, so going from gross to worse, or gross to even more gross, or gross to this is some bullshit, the Ice Lady, they call her the Ice Lady. She's from Vienna, and I don't even want to try to pronounce her name, but Her last name is Carranza. It's Estebales Carranza. Oh, I get it right. She's a former ice cream parlor owner. She confessed Monday to shooting, sawing up, and freezing both her ex-husband and her lover and burying them under the cellar in her store in Vienna. So, yes, she actually got tired of the husband being a deadbeat. She got tired of having to constantly yell at him and tell him what to do. And I mean, and I know it's a lot of men out there like that, where the women just feel like they have to keep pushing them to get them to do anything. They're not motivated. They're not bringing in any money. And she just got so fed up with it that she ended up cheating on him. She actually didn't kill him because of that. But then she decided that, you know, she's going out with this other guy and she wants him to leave and he wouldn't leave the house. He just, nope, I'm going to be a lazy ass and I'm going to stay here. So, nope, she did still didn't kill him. But then he talked about another woman, about thinking another woman was sexy. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. She just could not take it and she shot him in the head, sawed him up, and buried him in the cellar, right next to the ice cream. And I know, gross. So then the other lover, the same story. All of a sudden, he became uninterested in her and more interested in other women. And he made a comment about her, I guess, a threesome or whatever. They were going to talk about it, but he started dismissing her, and he wouldn't listen. And so what happened? He got the axe just like the husband did and got shot, chopped up, and buried right along with the husband. Now, this is the really bad part of the story, is that she's really, really young. I'm not going to tell her age or anything. She's really, really young, but the part that got on her nerves was she said she was so furious with his snoring and flirting with other women and, you know, all this other stuff. And she just couldn't believe that she had gotten herself into a situation with being with yet another deadbeat. So the way she felt like getting out of it was to kill him. So I'm going to tell you, ladies, I understand. I understand your plight. I understand your frustration. I feel you, boo. Do not kill your man. Please don't do it. Don't think about it. Just do what you got to do and move forward, move out, whatever you got to do, get some peace. But don't kill your man. That's all I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. And on that note, I am going to take a very quick station identification break, and I will be right back with you guys shortly. Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.
Drama.
All right. That was my quick station identification break. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to Smooth Drama. I am your host, Miss 100% Queen of the Little People. And I'm sorry that the man of the hour, Mr. F the N-word, is not present. However, he better be shortly because I'm having too much fun without him. So I don't know. I don't want to get used to him not being here, so I think he better show up in the next couple minutes, or I'm just going to have to hijack the show for myself for the rest of the year. Anyway, now, speaking of crazy stuff, I have heard of, you know, people doing crazy stuff, and it's bad, but it's rare that you hear of people doing crazy stuff, and it's the good kind of crazy. So I just wanted to actually recognize somebody that's doing something good. Mayor Cory Booker, he's the mayor from Newark, New Jersey. He decided that he got tired of certain government officials saying that the amount of food stamps that they give people is enough. And so he said that he volunteered to go onto the SNAP program. And if you don't know what the SNAP program is, the food assistance program, where you go on food stamps. And he said he'll go on food stamps to prove to the people that he works with and the people that are above him how difficult it is to survive on government assistance. And he says that people have a real lack of understanding of the struggles that many families have to go through, hardworking families that play by the rules. So it's not just people who have baby after baby after baby that get food stamps or that need the food stamps. Here's the problem from the way that I see it. We have a thing where in this country we create one program after another to help solve the problem instead of actually going to the root cause of the problem. We like to put a Band-Aid on it and, you know, just let the infection fester. Like, you can get a cut. Unless you clean that cut, then you're going to have an infection, and eventually, you know, you're going to get sick. And that's what's happening in this country with the welfare system, because you allow people to get on welfare and just sit there and not do anything and not hold them responsible, which they should still hold themselves responsible, but they don't. But then all of a sudden you want to kick people off of it cold turkey. And now you have a problem because you with people just sitting up on welfare collecting food stamps. Okay, that's all fine, well, and good. But what about the people now that we're in, the economy is in a recession, and now we have people that are considered middle class who need food stamps but can't get it. And then you have a family of four or five who is barely able to pay their rent, is barely able to keep lights and gas on, but they need food stamps and they can't get it. But Susie Joe, because she keeps pushing out babies, she can keep adding to her food stamp amount every month, and her check amount grows. Seriously, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say the name, but I'm going to say what I feel about the situation. I know personally a young lady who has eight children and working on a ninth child. And every time she has a baby, they give her more food stamps. They give her more, what is it called? Age-dependent children is what it used to be called. So they give her a bigger welfare check. As a matter of fact, they gave her a house. They pay her bills for her. She doesn't have to do anything but lay up and screw and continue to keep having kids. She's to the point where they said that she has so many children that she won't be able to ever find a job to support those children. So therefore, it is the government's responsibility to take care of her and her children. I say that's bullshit. And this is the same thing that Mr. Booker is talking about. People that really need it are not getting it. But the people that don't really need it are just living it up off of welfare. So he said one of his main goals will be to shine a light on programs like the SNAP program or the TANF program and dispel stereotypes that exist. And he's already known for being one of the most candid and passionate politicians in the country. So now that he's on food stamps, I hope this is not just like a political ploy, you know, for his, you know, his career or anything like that. I hope that he's actually being really genuine with this. So that's the story. So now let's talk about something even crazier. Black Friday. I know Black Friday sucks. Let's talk about Walmart and Target and all of those places that they're having Black Friday sales. But not only have they extended their sales to Black Friday, but they're having Black Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Black Friday, and any other way that they can get it. They're just trying to find ways to draw people in to spend money because we're in a quote-unquote economy. I mean, you know, the economy is in a recession. So my question is, if we're in an economy, and you can call in 646-929-2037. It's a call-in number. You can call in and holler at me and tell me because maybe I'm just, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking something crazy. But if we are really in a recession, I don't care how many Black Fridays or Saturdays you have. If the Smith family can't afford to buy that new television, we're not going to be able to buy it no matter how many deals you give us. It's not going to happen. So that leads to my question. Would you skip the holidays? I want to hear from some people who would actually do it because I had actually said before, oh, I would never, ever, ever not do Christmas, not do Thanksgiving because I love the holidays. But now I find myself being just like being as cynical, I guess, as other people because I'm starting to hate the holidays. Just the commercialization itself is just really, really wearing me down. I mean, they were advertising for Christmas back in September. Like you could literally walk into a Family Dollar store or walk into a Dollar General store and you would see Christmas decorations hanging here right alongside of trick-or-treat mask or Halloween mask and Halloween candy and stuff. So it's just been kind of, it's put me in a really bad mood. And then, again, people don't have the money to keep constantly going out buying new TVs and the new Xboxes and things like that. So are they really deals? And that's another question that I had about this Black Friday thing. Are they really deals? Like, if there's a TV that is normally $500 at Walmart, but it only costs Walmart $75, well, it only costs the manufacturer $70 to make, and they sell it to Walmart for $100, and then Walmart sells it to the consumer for $500 on Thursday morning, but Friday morning, you can get it for $250 or $300. Is that really still a deal? I don't think it is because I kind of still feel like they're still getting over. And sometimes they mark things up and then they take them down, which to me is not a deal. So, again, call in, let me know, or email me, Miss 100% @yahoo.com, or you can follow me on Twitter, and you can talk to me about this on Twitter. I'm open to anything. So then we're going to move from, you know what, silly, to from common sense to no damn common sense whatsoever. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I am talking about the real human Barbie doll. Now, y'all gonna have to excuse me, but her first name is Valerie, and her last name is Lucky Anova. Yeah, Lucky Anova. Valerie Lucky Anova is probably mostly fake. Okay, probably is not the word. Like, I want you to go on to Yahoo or go to Google, and I want you to Google Meet the Human Barbie, and you can take a look at her for yourself, and she does look like a Barbie doll, but she looks more like a zombie Barbie doll than anything. She is, I don't know, I mean, even her neck, her arms, she just looks like the real Barbie doll, but she's a human being, and she feels that, I don't know, she's been photoshopped, and she's had all these surgeries, but she feels that she's real. Like, she, for some reason, she doesn't remember having all of these different surgeries to make herself look this way. I wouldn't say that she's ugly or anything, but or corpse-like or anything like that, but she definitely does look like the little Barbie that you pick up out of, you know, once again, Walmart. Go to Walmart and buy a Barbie. She looks like a human Barbie, and she says that this is perfection, and she says that this is her quote, that many people say bad things about people who want to perfect themselves. It's hard work. Mm-hmm. But they dismiss it as something done by surgeons or computer artists. This is how they justify not wanting to strive for self-improvement. So it is how they explain their continued inaction. It's just an excuse. So she's saying that people that look normal are people who we have all of these failures and imperfections, and we're just mad at her because we can't look this way, and we're not perfect. And she uses the word perfect. We can't look perfect like her, so we're just pissed off. Well, she's basically saying that we are hating on her, and which, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that I would want to look like a piece of plastic. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that I would want to look like I weigh about maybe 70 pounds. And I don't know. And fellas, y'all can call in and talk to me and let me know, 646-929-2037. Call in and let me know if you would want a woman who looks plastic or looks like a Barbie doll or looks like somebody, something that you just have to handle very carefully. And I mean, I thought that real men like, you know, a real woman, you know, something that they can grab a hold to, something that they can, you know, hold on to, that they don't have to, doesn't look like they're going to break if they touch her. So it's really weird. She talks about this, it being so exhausting, and, oh, it's just so hard to be so perfect and always have so many people come at you this way. But I say, bull fucking shit, lady. You're just as fake as they damn come. I mean, the surgeon that did the surgeries for her, he came forward and talked about the surgeries and then talked about the things that she's done to herself, having her back pinched. I have no idea what the hell pinching your back means. I guess she's taking out ribs to get that Barbie shape around her midsection. She's done all kinds of things, you know, as far as the makeup. It's like airbrush or laser stuff. It's just really crazy. She just, I don't know, some special helmet. I don't know. You decide. I don't even think that she's worthy of a special helmet. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to come back and holler at you about some more stuff. Probably not as obscene or crazy, but we got lots to talk about. So stay tuned. Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in here with me. Once again, you are tuned into Smooth Drama. I am Miss 100% Queen of the Little People. And tonight we're just talking about crazy stuff. We're talking about the holidays. We're talking about people killing husbands and boyfriends and sticking them in freezers next to the ice cream. We're talking about some good stuff, too. But before we go into more good stuff, let's talk about this German hacker. There's a German hacker who actually in North Carolina, he hacked into millions. And when I say millions, I mean literally millions of people's tax returns. He stole credit card numbers. He stole bank account numbers, social security numbers, and he actually put all of this stuff on a website where you can buy it from him. Now, of course, you have to be part of this little, I guess, this little link of, you know, social networking criminals to be able to go onto the site and get this stuff. So I don't want nobody trying to go find this guy so y'all can buy somebody else's social security number. I know times is hard, but it's not that hard that you have to use somebody else's social security number, I guess. But apparently there was an email that was sent to workers at the South Carolina Department, sorry, I said North Carolina, it's South Carolina, Department of Revenue last August. And apparently the email enabled the hacker to crack into some state computers and gain access to 3.8 million tax returns, social security numbers, bank account information, and they say that it's the biggest cyber attack against a state government agency. And they said they were actually Nikki Haley, the governor, she said that they were ripe. She said they were a cocktail for a cyber assault. She said that it was just something that was waiting to happen. And apparently she's taking responsibility for it, but she's saying at the same time that she's been trying to get more protection because she felt that something like this was going to actually happen one day and they weren't going to be prepared for it and which they weren't. So as far as all of the people that were affected by, you know, the especially the tax returns, now a lot of the tax returns that were taken, were stolen, were from people that were actually not using them anyway. They were people that were, that are in like agencies like nursing homes and places like that, or they haven't actually, they had a tax return and the person may have died, or they had a tax return and then a person became ill and got put into a nursing home or something like that. And that was most of the tax returns, but a lot of the bank accounts that were hacked into were from businesses. And a lot of people actually have lost their businesses because of this creep. So, and then the agency that is, you know, responsible for allowing this to happen, they are not even trying to do anything to give the people their money back or to help the people out. They're still actually, one couple had a bank account that was set up specifically for the Internal Revenue Service to pay their taxes. And the hacker got into that account and was just using the account, just using it like it was an everyday personal account. And they knew that this happened, but they're still trying to put it off on the couple as if it's their fault or it's their responsibility. And now they have no way to pay their taxes. Their business has been ruined because of this. So it's just, to me, it's just amazing how a person can be so heartless and do something like this to somebody. And then for the Internal Revenue Service to know that it's their fault and not take responsibility because they don't want to pay people back the money. Why is it that it's more important, you know, to hold on to a penny than it is to help people make their lives right? I'm just one. And then the next thing, it's a lot of people who have come together and they have a lawsuit against this agency so that they can get their money back. And I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. It's, when you're dealing with the government, I don't think that anything good is going to come out of it, for the simple fact that they have lawyers and they can drag this thing on for years and you will never see a penny. You will die before you will ever hear or see anything about your money, before you will even see a dime of your money. So I hope that the people that were involved in this, I hope that they end up being able to recoup at least some of the money that they lost. Hopefully. And so then we're going to move on to the next story, which I found kind of heartbreaking. There's a question that's being asked, why does this country keep trying to execute mentally ill prisoners? And what they're basically saying is that there are laws that are out there to protect mentally ill people. And this is a very sensitive subject because I can understand that if a person was to murder your loved one or my loved one, I would want them to suffer too. I'm not sure that I would even care if they were mentally ill or not. I would just probably flip out and not give a damn. But then you have, you know, sitting down and really reading a story and taking a deeper, longer look at it, there's a man that he had a very, very extensive record of being mentally ill. There's a lot of things that happened, and he was actually, before he was made to stand trial, they were saying, he can actually stand trial, but it was actually against the doctor's advice that he really can't stand trial because he's mentally ill. He doesn't know what he's doing. So they went ahead and they put him on trial, and then they actually convicted him of his crime. And once they convicted him of his crime, now I can understand them sentencing a mentally ill person to life in some type of an institution so they can't get out and hurt anybody else. But they are actually putting mentally ill people to death. And they're saying normal people just don't typically commit, you know, really strange killings, serial killings, you know, of defenseless people. But I'm not talking about serial killers, because there are people out there who are murderers, and that's just who and what they are. They're just murderers, period, point blank. But what I'm talking about is people that are seriously mentally ill. There was a case in, we have a caller. Let's see if we can get our caller on the air.
I'm on the air?
Are you on the air, caller?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Do I get to welcome the smooth drama?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. What's the small drama, caller? How can I help you?
Yeah, I heard you talking about the mentally ill being being taken out, and I mean, for me, it's the same thing that's been happening forever. I believe Hitler called it euthanasia. He was just upfront with it. They are not upfront with it. They're like, oh well, they did some crime. It's the terminology, it's the semantics of the situation.
Right.
Yeah, they pretended like that. Oh, well, we didn't know they were mentally ill when they knew. Everybody knows. You can look at somebody and tell something's wrong with them.
Well, in this case, I thought about the fact that the man was already proven to be mentally ill, and that he actually, you know, didn't know. I don't want to use the words wasn't responsible for what he was doing, because you still have to take some type of accountability. But in essence, he really was not responsible for what he was doing. And like, who is the person that let him out after he killed the third person, and now you're at, what, the fifth or sixth person, and now you're putting him on death, now you're sending him to death? But what about, you know, the people that could have prevented the other two or three murders from happening by just going in and locking him away? What do you think about that?
Well, see, that's the situation is because of how we in society are built on the budget. They cut the budget, and so you have mentally ill people, and they just fall through the cracks. I mean, it's sort of like we not changing subjects, but it's the same thing as the child care system. 18, goodbye.
Right.
There's no. And so when you see these situations, once the budget runs out, they're trying to get rid of these cats.
Right.
What everything else they're talking about don't matter. We can't afford to take care of them. You got to go. You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
you got to get the hell out of here. And you talked about euthanization of people. And that's exactly what it is. It's like you feel like, okay, we talked about on the show before about controlling the population and trying the people that are quote-unquote expendable or meaningless to, you know, our government. Those are
that would be all of us. I mean, it was a thing. I mean, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Richard Nixon wrote a memorandum saying how to get rid of people. Because,
wow.
You know, there was a thing where they were talking about there were too many people on Earth, overpopulation. So, it's nothing new. I mean, Abraham Lincoln, good old honest Abe. I mean, Abe Lincoln was like, hey, we need to ship them back to Africa.
Wow.
It's understanding that undesirables and getting rid of undesirables has always been. I mean, that's how America got populated. Europe emptied their jails. Y'all got to go to America. So all the criminals came here. So if you look historically, that's how it goes. The criminals got to go. So they kick them out. I mean, I would be wrong to say this, but I mean, sort of like the Exodus, the Jews out of Egypt.
Okay.
You know, they had to go. I mean, obviously, I would be challenging history by saying that the Exodus wasn't something that was what they wanted,
mm-hmm.
but for they had to go because they were causing too many problems.
Right, right.
Thus, you have the Exodus. I mean, you know, but it all depends on how biblical scholars want to go about it, but the proof is in the pudding. There's historical proof of what was happening there, that the Exodus and how they said it happened, it didn't quite happen that way. There's historical documents that state that. So.
Okay. So, I don't know how long you've been listening, but did you hear I was talking about Mayor Cory Booker, New Jersey Mayor Cory Booker. He was pissed off about the fact that the government is saying that, okay, it's cool to keep giving women that keep having babies all this food stamp money, but for struggling families, they only get a little bit or nothing at all. And so he decided to go on to food stamps and see what it's like to live on food stamps to prove that it's not as easy as the government is trying to make it out to be. And basically the response to that was, you know, we're just trying to basically give them a little something. We're not trying to actually help them. And they said that he made a statement saying, oh, go ahead.
Well, let's keep it real. The only reason why we have welfare is because of all the riots and insurrection that was happening during the Great Depression.
Okay.
People don't understand that when you didn't have welfare and all that, you had all the riots in the 40s
mm-hmm.
that they don't talk about. You had the riots in the 60s. So the welfare, that is how you give people who don't have a lot, a little stuff, so that they don't just go out in the street and just start wilding.
Right.
I mean, because that's what that is. It's not about caring. They don't necessarily give a damn about the people per se. I mean, obviously, there's maybe two or three people who, like, genuinely care, like, I want to help those poor people. They like my puppy. But, you know, in reality, is self-preservation. Look, if you look at what happened across the globe, Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution, that was, Russian Revolution was all about poor folks.
Okay.
Poor folks not eating, they rise up. And if you look in France, the when they cut the head off, kill everybody, people wasn't eating. It's a common thread. So, I mean, actually, one of the smarter politicians, Queen Elizabeth, slave trader, so I'm giving her love, but
right.
She started the welfare. She started welfare in England. But she gave people a little something, but she made them have to work.
Right.
She gave them a little something. So, I mean, it's not a foreign concept. It's something that's been around forever. So, Cory Booker, I mean, yeah, it looks like, oh, yeah, he was doing stuff back then. Oh, I'm gonna see how it is to help the common man. I'm going to get on food stamps. I mean, but what does that do?
Right. That's what I was saying. That I kind of feel like, yeah, I feel like it's a good thing for him to want to understand, or maybe he's, you know, came from food stamps and that type of upbringing, so he understands already what it's like to live that way, and he's just trying to shed some light on it and trying to say or make a statement. But
yeah, but
at the end of the day,
but what light are you shedding? Look, people already know you can't live on food stamps.
And
that
ain't
no mystery.
They already know that. And it's not like they give a damn. It's not that they're saying, yeah, people can live off of food stamps. They're saying, we know and we don't give a damn. So,
right, but see, that's why I say it's disingenuous that he does that. It's like, yeah, look, see, I want to shed light on it, but shed light and doing something about it, because you are an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, he can start helping with the problem. I mean, obviously, we as people, depending on how you want to phrase it, if you're looking at it as citizens, you're looking at it as countrymen, you want to look at it as race, however you want to look at it, we don't hold the politicians accountable, and so you have situations where they do shit like, oh yeah, well, we're helping the people by shedding light on food stamps. And I mean, when I see stuff like that, I just want to smack somebody in the mouth. Stop that.
Okay.
If there's no helping. I mean, like saying, oh, yeah, well, I'm on food stamps because I want to show, hey, you living on food stamps, that is wrong and it doesn't help at all. Yeah. Now what? you shed light on it. Light is shed. You done put the flashlight on it. You put the stove light on it. Every light is on it. So
okay,
now
so
what?
To my next question then for you, caller. I was talking earlier about the whole Black Friday. Now it's Black Saturday, Black Monday, Black Wednesday. And, I mean, we already know that they have gone too far with the advertising and the commercialization of Christmas and all of that. Christmas started for some people back in July. Do you skip the holidays?
Well, look, they haven't got it wrong, because if people are stupid enough to be out there 1 a.m. waiting in the cold and the snow whatnot to get a TV, hey, you've done your job. It the frenzy has built I don't get the whole I'm gonna be out there.
Right.
Obviously, people celebrate what they gonna celebrate, but this isn't about celebration. And as far as I can tell, we always talk about how money is tight, but you out 2 a.m. shopping, buying stuff.
And that's the same thing that I said. If this country is in such a recession, or they're calling it, they're saying that we're headed to a depression, then how is it that so many people can go out to all of these stores and beat each other up over a DVD player for $10? Like, and more than likely, they have 4 or 5 DVD players at home already, 27 TVs, and, you know, people just acquire stuff over the years, and this is stuff that they probably don't even need, but it's like Walmart, I feel, is just doing what they're there to do, make money, and that's what business is there for, to make money, and any way they can make money, they're going to make it. Is it legal? Yes. Is it ethical? No. That's, you know, but ethical is not illegal, and doesn't say that you can't do it. So
I don't see it as unethical. I mean, because look, you open up the store. If people want to come in, they come in. If they don't want to come in, they don't.
Well, the part I'm talking about the being ethical or unethical part is the fact that they, you know, you can get this bike for $25, and it normally costs $125, and they only have that one bike, and people are not smart enough. They've been there last year and a year before, and they know it's only one or two bikes for $25, but yet they feel like, okay, I'm going to be the first in line so I can get this bike for my kid. And that's where I feel the unethical part on Walmart comes in, because you have people out there macing each other, biting each other, stumping old men for all of this stuff.
And this is why I have to disagree with you, because Walmart is not, there's nobody from Walmart sitting out there with a gun like, y'all better fight like the gladiator. That is all stupid people out there killing themselves over some stuff. I refuse to blame the retailer.
Okay.
I mean, I worked retail for 10 years and 10 long years, and I just remember
a really long time myself. Yeah,
right. So you know how stupid people get around this time of year.
It's just, yeah, that's true.
I mean, you don't blame the store, because all we do is open.
Right.
And you idiots are out there 3 a.m.
So my last question for you is, what about the picketing and everything now? There's a story that's saying that it won't make a difference. And I agree with that. They're picketing and everything. The workers are, because they're, you know, Walmart is raking in money, but the workers are being treated unfairly. So your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, they're always going to be treated unfairly. That's the supply and demand. Look, you need this job. If you don't need this job, you feel you're being treated unfairly, you're not getting the proper wage, whatnot, move on. Because that's what ultimately Walmart's going to tell them. Look, we are not giving you nothing. And if they do give them something, it'd be like a quarter. So, I mean, and not to diss that quarter, because that quarter times 80 can help. But at the same time, look, the reality is that's how it's always been. And if they think that they're going to give up their profits to give to you low minimum wage workers, good luck with that.
And all right, this has been Smooth Drama. For my main man, Mr. F the N-Word, I'm Miss 100%. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
together you got
Drummer.